Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
All right, Rob, the big news, a lot of big things you could take from the episode Sunday night, or episodes 3 and 4 of The Last Dance. A lot of talking points and stuff is going around, and people are addressing this issue and that issue. And you and I talked about, we think Jordan would average 40. We think more people are recognizing him as the GOAT. Dennis Rodman's rebounding genius, Phil Jackson's ability to handle Rodman, and, you know, that's what helped make him such a great coach, is that ability. So a lot of things to address, but one of the biggest, and really it seems like it's become the biggest, is the whole Isaiah Thomas, Michael Jordan beef. And one of the casualty in the beef, let's just keep it real, even though he's a Hall of Famer and a superstar and an all-time great in his own right, Isaiah's taking he's the one taking the bruises, right? He's the one taking the brunt of this battle, because you're just not going to beat Michael Jordan. And so Isaiah was left off of maybe the best team we've ever seen, 1992 Dream Team. And a lot of it may have been because he did refuse to shake hands with Michael Jordan and the Bulls after they were swept by them in 1991. Here's Isaiah talking about it yesterday.
If I'm not a part of the Dream Team because, you know, a lapse in emotion in terms of not shaking someone's hand, if that's the reason why I didn't make the Dream Team, then I am more disappointed today than I was back then when I wasn't selected.
All right, there's Isaiah Thomas. And Rob, you can have the first shot at this. What are your thoughts?
I just don't believe that Isaiah believes that's the reason why. That can't be the – was Bird on the Dream Team?
Yes.
Did Bird refuse to shake hands after a game and walk off? I know he didn't do it to Michael, but did he do that?
He didn't shake Isaiah's hands, and he didn't shake the hated bad boy's hands. He shook Michael Jordan.
But I'm just saying,
I hear what you're saying.
That can't be the reason.
I think the way Isaiah even said it is he doesn't necessarily believe that.
Yeah, that can't be the reason. And especially, here's the thing. And I'd love to have Isaiah on and really, like, dig in, Chris.
I've talked with him. He was on, you know, we did an IG or at Facebook Live last week. But, yeah, we can probably get him back on.
But just, you're obviously one of the 12, 13, 14 best players on the planet at that time, right? Belonged on that team. There's no ifs, ands, or buts.
I was going to say, look. For those that don't know how great Isaiah Thomas was, Rob, after Jordan, Magic, and Bird, Isaiah should have been the next guy on that team.
No doubt about it.
Ahead of Barkley, ahead of Malone. No. You know what I'm saying? Pippen, all of them.
No doubt. They went to the finals 3 years in a row. They won two. I mean, and he didn't have nearly the supporting cast as those other guys who had all these Hall of Famers. So I have the utmost respect for Isaiah when it comes to basketball talent. I'll go to the end of the earth in support of his basketball ability. Yeah. But the problem I have is I just wish that maybe Isaiah could come out and call it out, or find out what it is, or expose the people who did what they did to him. And I don't know at this point.
I don't think he knows. I mean, he's told me he doesn't know. He's had interactions with Jordan, and he said it's always been fine. And I think that's one reason he was probably blindsided by what happened Sunday night.
But did you see the anger in Michael Jordan's voice?
Yes.
And his face? Yes. That ain't over. It's been 30 years.
No.
Well, it's been 30 years, and Chris, this is just my only point. Last point. Your best friend at the time is Magic Johnson. He's on the team. Your coach is Chuck Daly. And your general manager of the Olympic team, the Dream Team, was Jack McCloskey, who was the Pistons general manager. Hands down, other than Michael Jordan, you had three of the most powerful people in charge of that Dream Team other than Michael Jordan. How the hell weren't you on it? How?
Well, here's how. Because at that point, he didn't have Magic on his side anymore. Because remember, they had fallen out because, you know, when Magic got HIV, there was reports that Isaiah was wondering how he got it, and we'll just leave it at that. But here, this is why Isaiah was not on that team. Magic said this in a book he did a few years ago. Magic Johnson said nobody wanted Isaiah on the team. And so Magic didn't want him because they had fallen out, as great of friends as they were. Bird didn't want him because, remember, Isaiah had backed up Dennis Rodman and said after they lost in the playoffs to the Celtics that if Larry was black, he'd be just another good guy, right? Remember that?
So I remember that.
Right. So I think that soured Bird on him. Michael, we know from the walk-off, you know, Isaiah's told me there was no freeze-out. I don't know what Michael believes, but there have always been the rumors about the freeze out. Scottie Pippen, who isn't on the level of those three, but obviously he was a champion. He didn't want Isaiah on the team. So those are four guys. Now, Clyde Drexler came out and said that very thing. Those guys didn't want him on the team. He said, I had no problem with Isaiah. David Robinson had no problem with Isaiah. Karl Malone had no problem with Isaiah. But this and the rest of them, Stockton, you know, Chris Mullin, they had no issues with Isaiah. But here was the thing, and Drexler said it as well. He said the thing was this. We didn't need Isaiah. They didn't need any of them. They could have done without any one of those players, including Jordan, and still ran away with the gold.
Yeah, but that's not the issue.
But
that's
hold on,
not
let me issue. But let me okay. finish. The fact that they were worried about chemistry. And they were like, if our top four guys or top three don't want Isaiah on the team, and there's going to be potential camaraderie and chemistry issues, then look, let's just move on. We can have John Stockton, who's great in his own right. We're still going to win the gold running away. And that's that. So I think that's it right there. It's unfortunate because it bothers me. But I think that's what happened.
I don't believe it because I was told a story on how the team was put together, and it had to deal with a fax and a roster. And I've heard this, and I'm not going to repeat it, but I'm telling you, that's not the story I heard about how they decided who was going to be on the team. And the other thing is, it's petty to play exhibition basketball against teams you're going to roll over. And you really can't play with Isaiah during this time. And Isaiah is arguably, like you said, the fourth best player. This was a piece
of
American history.
I'm just saying, to put
together one of the greatest teams ever. And you're going to tell me that Stockton and all these other guys you put on there, Christian Laettner was on that team. It's a disgrace to those guys if that was the reason to put aside.
Well, why do you think
your
he wasn't?
Personal? I do believe that Michael Jordan was orchestrated this. It was all about Jordan. I have no evidence. I'm just telling you what I was told, Chris. I don't have evidence, but I don't believe that it was an orchestra. And I can't believe that Chuck Daly had no voice. And yes, you're right. Magic and him had fallen out. But I thought those guys would have cared about basketball a little bit and basketball history. And to use that in that moment as if they're all perfect and they've all done everything right, I don't buy into that four guys stepped forward and said, we don't want them on the team.
Well,
I find that hard to believe.
Michael may have been the biggest voice, but I definitely don't think Larry Bird went to him and said, we can't have Isaiah.
I just can't believe that.
I think they know how he felt, though. And I know none of them were. Now again, I'm not necessarily going to put this all on Michael, but I do think Michael was probably the biggest voice, and I don't think anybody else stepped up for him. And the guys that may have or may have been fine with him, they weren't big enough names. They were just going to fill out the roster. So it's a mystery. But I'm going to say this, and I said it to Isaiah, and I mean it, really. Just as a basketball fan, and now obviously a guy that covers the league and has covered the league for a quarter of a century, two things from my whole existence with the NBA, from fan childhood to now, two things really bother me, because it's two phenomenal players whose legacies are still awesome, and they're still Hall of Famers and recognized as all-time greats. But their legacy would have been that much greater had these two things not happened. Number one, when Dr. J and the Philly 76ers lost the finals in 1977 to the Portland Trailblazers. Dr. J's first year in the NBA, they're up 2-0, and they lose four straight. Dr. J, he wouldn't be in the GOAT conversation, but he would be talked about even greater than what he is now. That always bothered me. He's my favorite player. And now, and then Isaiah being left off the Dream Team, Rob. Because as you said it, there is no doubt about it. He should have been on that team. And I think millennials recognizing, seeing that he wasn't on the team and maybe not knowing why, don't think he was, they think he probably wasn't better than John Stockton or good enough for, you know what I'm saying? And so I think that hurts his legacy. So I think it's a travesty. I'm with you. There's no doubt he should have been on that team.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, Rob, the NFL, I have a feeling you and I might be trashing the NFL, but one of their proposals that they're putting forth, or at least talking about and discussing, Rob G is going to share the details with us about that. Go ahead, Rob.
That's right. The NFL schedule makers will be putting out a schedule here in about a week and a half or so. Now, the plan is to have a 16-game, 17-week season as usual, but they do have some contingency plans. One of them that's being proposed involves delaying the Super Bowl 3 weeks, which is not that big of a deal. I think we can handle that one. But it would also include eliminating bye week so they could still play a full 16 games, eliminating the Pro Bowl, and eliminating the bye week before the Super Bowl. So theoretically, if your team made the Super Bowl, you would have possibly played for 20 straight weeks.
Yeah, let me first start off on a good note. I like eliminating the Pro Bowl.
Have they played it? I'm trying to remember.
Did they? What is it? Yeah, there's a game.
I guess they're still playing the game. I haven't watched it in a long time.
Yeah, it's the worst. I mean,
I love football, but I don't love that. I don't know what that is.
It's really become bad. So I'm fine with that. I like that part. Outside of that, though, I don't like it. And Rob, you know, we've gone at the NFL about this. I think it's hypocritical to talk about the safety of the players and still at the same time push for 17 or 18 games. And they're getting their 17. The players did agree to it. In 2021 is when that'll start. But I just think don't tell me on the one hand you care about player safety, but yet you want to give them one more regular season game where they have a chance to get hurt. And now you're talking about taking away the bye week in the regular season and before the Super Bowl? I mean, Rob hit it on the head. 20 straight weeks of football? That is tough. And why not? I think a better thing is why not have a 14-game regular season? They used to play 14 games. Back when O.J. Simpson rushed for 2,003 yards, it was 14 games. And they at one point, they played 12 when Jim Brown was playing. So
yep.
A 14-game season is plenty of time to find out who the best seven are in each conference. So if you, I think what would be best is if you played 14 games, if indeed you have to delay the start of the season, and give them their bye week, give them the bye week before the Super Bowl, and going about business as usual. But I look, it's a business, right? They're trying to make as much money as they can. And you know this, Rob, they have no problem extending into February, like deep into February, because they want to control and dominate the media coverage as long as they can.
Yeah, I guess this is, again, it's all about money and not about player safety and whether or not it's good for people or players who might get injured along the way, careers shortened, all that other stuff. It just doesn't matter. It's like we got this money on the table and we got to produce 16 weeks of games to get all our money. That's what it comes down to.
Yep.
We don't want to take less. We don't want to cut it back. We don't want to do what's right. There's a reason you put bye weeks in, right? To now say all of a sudden a bye week
right,
doesn't matter?
Unnecessary.
Then why would we ever have a bye week? Hello? Is this on? They used to play without bye weeks, but they got greedy. So they put bye weeks in to try to pacify the players. Now you're telling us that the bye weeks don't matter. How don't they matter? Why? Because you want money.
Right.
Chris is bad. The Players Association should never go for this. How? 20 weeks in a row? And if somebody gets hurt or seriously hurt, are you going to take care of that player because they didn't get a break during the season? No. It ain't right. It ain't right.
I agree totally. And they're already making money hand over fist. Okay, yeah, we know you're losing money during the virus. So is everybody else.
Everybody, Chris,
right.
Everybody.
And you're going to make it much. You're going to make it back much more than most people. And so I don't want to hear that. You said it, Rob. It. Look, we all love the NFL, but this isn't right. This is not right. And I'll tell you what else. It's going to be a bad product. Because preseasons, you know, if this comes to pass where they do have to start later, it's a truncated preseason and all that, you're going to have a short preseason to get prepared, maybe no preseason games. And here's what's going to happen, Rob. They're not going to practice as much or certainly not as hard. They already have cut down on a lot of the hard practices, but it's going to be cut down more because there is no bye week. So the coaches are going to want to take it easy on the players to keep them fresh and all that. And then the product on the field is going to be subpar. And that is not good. Go with the 14 games. The NBA has gone with 50 games. They've gone with 66 games. And guess what? The seasons were great. Go with 14 games if you have to. The season will still be fantastic. You'll make plenty of money. Not as much, but plenty. And it'll
also,
be a better product.
Right. And the players will get what they need to perform better, Chris. This whole notion of just putting something on to collect your pay. I mean, these are extreme times. You think Macy's wants to be closed, Chris, for six weeks?
Right.
Seriously. They might not. When they come back, we might lose a third of Macy's stores in this country. You think they want to be out of business?
There
I just don't
colleges,
get it.
There's a story today saying some colleges are going to go under if they don't start in the fall.
I believe it. I'm telling you it. You cannot sustain this. Nobody can. It's unbelievable how fragile, seriously, the economy. Chris, we're talking about 6 or 7 weeks, right? And look where we are. People on the brink.
Right, right. Yeah, and look, like we said, at the end of the day, this should be about the players and their safety. And I don't think this is the best way to go about it. I don't think this is the best way to keep the players healthy. And, you know, we've talked about it before, Rob. What's the Players Association doing?
Nothing.
We say it on and I know, look, we don't have all the ins and the outs. We don't know everything. Right. We don't know all the dotted I's and the cross T's of the contracts and all that. And we inevitably always get a guy that used to work for the union coming on and telling us the healthcare thing is great and the package is wonderful and this and that. All we know is it ain't nearly as good as the NBA's and Major League Baseball's.
It just
and
isn't.
You
and
you need
those
it
are facts.
More than anybody.
Right.
The football players need it more than any of these other athletes.
The football players union should be the strongest. They got $11 billion, $12 billion business, Chris. They could shut the league down tomorrow. Didn't we see what the players in Missouri did? The football players?
College.
What did they do? College kids.
They threatened not to play one weekend. And remember, this kid had been on, a student had been on a hunger fast for nearly 40 days.
Right.
And nothing was happening. And so the players decided we're supportive of this student and what
no
he's fighting
practice,
for.
No
game. We're not playing, right. And within 2 days, the president was gone. They got the students got what they wanted, and they didn't even miss a game.
That's what I'm that's,
and these are scholarship guys, Rob.
This is at Mizzou,
you know,
right?
They're not making millions. Most of them won't even make the NFL. You know? Most of those guys, who knows what they're doing?
But they all banded together.
Right.
Yes.
So, yeah, we beat this horse all the time. The players' union needs to stand up. And I get it, it's complicated because you got guys that are only going to be playing 3 or 4 years. And they want to get that $600,000.
Let's make those 3 or 4 years even better, Chris. Let's make them for the next guy. There might be a sacrifice, and everything that's worth fighting for is a sacrifice. Am I right? Yeah. There's a sacrifice that's there. Well, don't forget, I don't want to make it, but there are a lot of people, Chris, a lot. And I'm not trying to equate football, playing football, and players to the civil rights. But there were people who went to the Woolworths counter day after day after day. Spit on, stuff thrown at them, name called, just for the right. That was what they gave. Did you think they wanted that to go on? But they did it.
And they did it for the future, for their offspring.
Yes, not for them.
Right. They knew they weren't going to see all the benefits. And so, like you said, we don't want to make it totally about that. But, yeah.
No.
Yeah, sacrifice is a good example.
It's about a sacrifice. That was just the point.
Sometimes you got to make a sacrifice.
Exactly. That was my point. It's not equal. You can't equate
it. Kurt Flood, if we want to put it to sports, Kurt Flood.
Gave up his baseball career.
Free agency. All of this stuff, it started with him. In all the sports.
In all sports. He was the guy who gave up his career. Guys, go Google it. Read about Kurt Flood. He's the one who went to the Supreme Court and got his freedom.
And here's the thing, Rob. It wouldn't even come to that. If the players, as they're meeting with the NFL and discussing a return to, you know, the season and all the different options, just say, look, we want the bye week. Period. We want the bye week. It's a non-negotiable. The players need it. You claim to be about their safety, give them the bye week. That's all it.
Right. That's all.
It won't. They need the players. So you're not going to have to suffer too much, if at all. But you got to stand up at some point for it.
And the other thing is a little arrogance, because all the other leagues are going to have abbreviated schedules, but you can't. Of all the sports, you can't do it. It's against what? The NBA is going to do whatever it can to get the season going back, and it ain't going to be what we're used to. Major League Baseball talking about starting a season in July when it
July
starts
4th.
In late March.
Yep.
And the NFL can't give up two games?
Games.
Can't give up two games? Come on, Chris.
Nah, I'm right there with you, man. So hopefully, you know, We don't know what the future holds as far as this virus and when the leagues will start up. But I don't like this proposal. I'd rather see 14 games and a bye week than 17 games or 16 games and no bye week, and then no bye week before the Super Bowl.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Well, Rob, let me read a few things that may shed light. There'll at least be food for thought as to why Isaiah wasn't on that team. And for all those, look, we're not taking anything away from John Stockton. He was a great point guard. But Isaiah Thomas was better. Isaiah Thomas was better. He was the leader of his team, and he led them to two championships. And so I don't want to hear that there was no room for him on the team.
Christian Laettner and Chris Mullin were on the team. Stop.
Right.
It.
I just
can't. I can't buy into that.
Right. So from Magic Johnson's book, Rob, that came out in 2009, 12 years ago, called "When the Game Was Ours," this is Magic talking. This is what Magic said about why Isaiah was left off the Dream Team. Here it is. Isaiah killed his own chances when it came to the Olympics. Nobody on that team wanted to play with him. Michael Jordan didn't want to play with him. Scottie Pippen didn't wanted no part of him. Bird wasn't pushing for him. Karl Malone didn't want him. Who was saying we need this guy? Nobody. Now, that's what Magic said. Then Scottie Pippen and Clyde Drexler did an interview on Mad Dog Radio about the same topic. And Scottie, I'm not even going to read his quote, because Scottie came off initially like, we just had room. We had Magic. We had Stockton. There was a lot of great players. There was no room for him, which we know is BS. And I'm glad Clyde Drexler called him on it. Clyde came out and said, I disagree with all that. I think the guy gets there on his own merit, even though in an Olympic scheme, it's all about camaraderie. You have to get along with your teammates. And because he was alienated from those guys, Magic, Pippen, Bird, Jordan, I don't think anybody else had a problem with him. David Robinson, myself, Patrick Ewing, we had no problem with Isaiah. Drexler kept going. Isaiah's one of the best point guards ever to play the game. And so he deserved to be on that team, especially with his head coach as our head coach, Chuck Daly. The reason he was not was because it was a camaraderie issue, because the truth is you didn't need him to win. So at that point, it became a chemistry issue. That's from Drexler.
Don't believe it. And I'll tell you this right here. I'm going to share
what I Drexler said?
No, I'm just saying this is what I heard, Chris. I'm going to share this. I'm not reporting it or whatever. I'm just telling, this is what I heard, how that whole thing went down. It was like Jordan asked them to send the fax, the roster to him.
Right.
So he can make a decision on whether or not he was going to be on the dream team. There is no dream team if Michael Jordan doesn't play, correct?
You're right. Okay. They would have won, but it wouldn't have been a dream team.
Right. The facts came in. Isaiah was on the team. Jordan sends back, I'm not playing.
Did he say why?
Nope. He never. So this is what I'm saying. So he never said Isaiah couldn't be. So I think he could get away with saying, I never said Isaiah couldn't be on the team. Because he didn't say that. He said he wasn't playing. I'm just going on what I was told. You heard the story, Chris. Am I making this up?
No.
I mean, you've heard this.
And I believe that.
And then the roster came back, and Isaiah wasn't on it. Jordan said, I'm playing. That's the way I was heard. I was told how it all went down. Jordan never said he wasn't going to play if Isaiah was on the team. I'm telling you, despite what Larry Bird or Magic and their ill, if Michael Jordan wanted Isaiah on the team, he would have been on the team. The only person who could stop somebody from being on that team, it wasn't Magic, it wasn't Bird, it was Michael Jordan. And here's the other part. Jack McCloskey, who was the GM of the Dream Team and the GM of the Pistons, Chris, do you remember what he did? He quit the Dream Team in protest over Isaiah not being on the team. He quit. It's supposed to be you're trying to have a basketball team for the country and the country spirit. He could not take part in a travesty like that and have his name attached to it. And that's what he's, I can't do this. It ain't right. It ain't fair. And I think Jack McCloskey was the big man in the room to say, I'm not going to be a part of this. And I wish other players would have done the same thing. To say, whatever beef you guys have, y'all don't have to love each other. Isaiah Thomas is one of the four or five best players in the NBA at this point and belongs on this team whether we like each other or not. And it was unfair. I praise the late Jack McCloskey. I praise him.
I think that is true about the Jordan facts. Like you said, that's a story that is circulated, you know, around NBA circles. But I also think no one went to bat.
I don't think that's far-fetched.
Nobody went to bat for him.
I don't think that's far-fetched. But don't you believe Jordan had more power than anybody?
Well, Jordan was the, again, you didn't need any of them to win. Okay, no. They would have won it without Jordan. But for it to be the dream team, for it to be, you know, what it became, the best team we've ever seen, or at least to that point, you needed Michael Jordan. And so, look, I tell you this, Rob, and you know I'm tight with Isaiah. They, if it came down to picking Isaiah or Michael Jordan, you had to pick Michael Jordan.
No, I get that. Oh, no, I'm not even, that's not even a question. That's not a question, but they knew that there was a rift between those two. That's how, supposedly, Chris, and I don't know, I didn't see the facts. You didn't see the facts, I didn't see the facts. But you know I'm not making this story up, because you've heard it.
No, no.
And my point is that knowing the feud between those two and Michael saying he wasn't playing, it was pretty obvious when you go through the list, right? I think it was obvious.
Then all of a sudden I'm playing. They were taking shots. Okay, let's take this guy off and see if Michael
changes his mind. They didn't take Patrick Ewing's name off.
Right, right.
Come on.
Well, and here's the thing. For millennials out there, and again, Rob, I think millennials and analytical guys belittle Isaiah Thomas. They don't understand how good he is. Bleacher Report came out with a top 50 top players of all time maybe a year ago or something like that. They had Isaiah Thomas 47th.
Which is just ridiculous.
Come on. That is a joke.